Amen. Brothers and sisters, please turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 18 this morning. Again, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Please now do give your attention to God's holy word. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Thus far, the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Let's ask now for God's blessing on the preaching of his word. Oh, Father, how we do pray that you would grant that we would have the wisdom to see the value of wisdom, that we would be granted eyes to see that though wisdom is counted as so little today, that yet it is of more value than the greatest of all riches. Help us, Lord, to see with the eyes of faith, and may it be that you would grant to all of us to find wisdom in our lives. Lord, please do bless now the preaching of your word to this end. For, Lord, we know that wisdom is difficult to find. And yet, Lord, you often do grant it. You do grant it through the preaching of your word as it is received in faith, as the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom, that fear is in fact produced through the preaching of your word. So, Lord, we do pray that you would grant us the grace to find wisdom now. For we do ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the things that you will find in the scriptures, particularly in the wisdom literature of the Bible, are many statements that are related to the value of wisdom. So the Bible will often speak about how valuable wisdom is, and that's particularly in the wisdom literature. One very famous place is in Job chapter 28. And there, Job says, there is a place where you can go to mine precious metals. So you can think of gold and silver, all kinds of rubies and diamonds, and those are very rare, but it's not the case that you don't know where those kinds of things are. They may be difficult to find, but you know, they're in the ground. You can go in a mine, people have found them, they've been able to discover them. And Job says, but if you look at wisdom, where can you go to find wisdom? It's more rare than all of these things. There is no mine that you can go to. You'll never be able to find it by looking in the earth. You could then go further to up into the sky and consider the birds of the air, and you'll see that wisdom is not there either. You won't be able to find it there. If you were to ask, where is wisdom then to be found? Job then says, the deep will respond to you and say, it is not with me. So it's not in the ground. It's not deep in the waters. It's not up above in the heavens. Where then can you go for wisdom? It cannot be bought for gold. Silver cannot be weighed as its price. All the precious stones are nothing in comparison with it. And the point that Job is making in Job chapter 28 is this, that wisdom is both rare and valuable. It's far more rare than any valuable thing in this world. And also, it's far more precious. It's far more precious than any of these things. And this is why then, if you think about 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon is asking something from God, and you remember that he is commended by God for asking him for wisdom. This is the reason why he's given that commendation. Because he, as the king, saw that if I am going to be a good king over the people of God, that I must have wisdom. And so he prays to God for wisdom, and God says, look, because you've asked for wisdom, you've not asked for things for your own glory, you've asked for wisdom in order to benefit the people of God generally. Because of that, I'm going to give you all kinds of other great blessings. Solomon himself understood the blessings of wisdom. He did not ask for riches, honor, long life, but God actually gave him all these things even as he asked for wisdom. So wisdom is more valuable than anything else in this world. That's the point that Solomon is making here. It's the point that was made in Job 28, and it's the point that is being made here. Wisdom is more valuable than anything else in this life. If you have wisdom and nothing else, you are greatly rich. You are wealthier than even the wealthiest man within this life. Now, you remember last week, if you were here with us last week, you remember that we looked at a description of what it looks like to honor God with the entire life. What we saw is that the scriptures teach that we are to give God a thorough universal obedience. We're to obey God in every area of our lives. So every area of our lives, we are to obey God. And now, the question that's being asked here in this particular passage, or that's being answered, is this worth it? If you honor God in every area of your life, the implication is that you will then find wisdom. Because Solomon has already said in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He's given now a description of what that fear of the Lord looks like. And now he's given a description of the value of the wisdom that you can obtain by honoring the Lord. What is it worth it for you if God grants you wisdom because you honor and fear the Lord? If you are given wisdom as a result of your fear of the Lord, is that in fact worth it? The answer here is yes, because nothing can compare with wisdom. Nothing can compare with wisdom. Now, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at the value of wisdom generally. So the way the next three passages kind of work themselves out in terms of the structure is this. Verses 13 through 18 describe the value of wisdom in general for people. Then in verses 19 and 20, we have the value of wisdom as it relates to God. So we're told that God has created the world by wisdom. So that shows the value of wisdom in that way. And then in verses 21 through 26, we have the value of wisdom particularly for the son that Solomon is addressing. So the idea in terms of the logic of these passages is this. Wisdom is valuable for all kinds of people. It's more valuable than anything in this world. And even further than that, God has made the world by wisdom, showing that wisdom is even supremely valuable to God. And therefore, wisdom is valuable particularly to you. Particularly to you. It is a good thing for you to gain wisdom. Now, we'll look at this passage under two and in some ways kind of three headings. So in verse 13 and the end of verse 18, the passage is bookended with a statement that the person who obtains wisdom is blessed. And the idea then is that everything in the middle is working out the reason why a person is blessed if he finds wisdom. And the answer is because wisdom is so valuable. So we're going to look at the bookends first, and then we'll look at the inside. The inside is further broken up into two parts, where we see wisdom in verses 14 and 15 is more valuable than any other thing in this world. And then in verses 16 through 18, what is actually granted by wisdom, and that is life, riches, and honor. So we'll look at the passage under those headings. Look with me then again at verses 13 and 18, where we have the bookends of the passage. This is meant to give us basically the meaning of the passage, what we are to take away from it. Solomon has said that the purpose of this passage is this: happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. So that's verse 13. Then notice again at the end of verse 18, and happy are all who retain her, all those who hold her fast, all those who are able to obtain wisdom. So the idea very basically is, if you have wisdom, you are blessed. Now this word that is translated happy is can also be translated blessed is, or how blessed is the man, or the person who has it. So other examples in the scriptures that use this kind of language, things like Psalm 1, how blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but who meditates on the law of God, who clings to the law of God. That kind of person is blessed. You think of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says over and over again, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those, and it goes on and on. The Lord Jesus Christ pronounces those blessings. And the point is that whatever follows after the blessing is a description of the kind of person who will obtain something great from the Lord. And that is what is being spoken of here. Here, particularly, if you obtain wisdom, you are blessed. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? A blessing in Scripture is something given by God that tends to the happiness of a person. You'll notice that in the text, it's translated here happy, and it could be either translated happy and blessed, and that's because there's a relationship between being happy and being blessed. Now, this does not mean that you will be in the emotional state of being happy so long as the scriptures declare you to be blessed. But what it does mean is that God, if you are blessed, it means God has granted you good things such that there are always grounds for rejoicing in your life no matter what else is happening. That's really what it means to be blessed. There could be any number of things that are happening to you. But the point is that when the scriptures declare a person to be blessed, it means even when things are very difficult, God has so given you good things that there are now good grounds for you to rejoice in God, even in the midst of your suffering. That's what it means to be blessed. And what Solomon here is saying is that if you have wisdom, you are a person who is, in fact, blessed. It means that it is evident that you have found favor with God, and that God has even manifested his favor to you in the things that he has given you in this life. That he has given you something that truly is, in this life now, causes you to have a good reason to hope in God, a good reason to rejoice. This is the reason why the scriptures can always command Christians to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. I'll say it again, rejoice. The reason is because if God has really given you to you all the things that the gospel says are yours in Christ, then even if you're suffering greatly, you still are blessed by God. There are still grounds for rejoicing. And this is what Solomon is saying is the case if you have obtained wisdom. If you have obtained wisdom, you are blessed. Now, what is the nature of the value of wisdom? So why is it such a blessing to have wisdom? That's really what we see in verses 14 to 18, the description here. And again, this falls into two parts. 14 and 15, we have the value of wisdom compared to other valuables. And then in verses 16 through 18, we have what wisdom grants. So the benefits of obtaining wisdom. Now, again, here's very similar to Job chapter 28. Wisdom is compared with the profits of silver and gold. So notice again, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, her gain better than fine gold. She is more valuable than precious rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Now, such statements are quite easy to understand, but they can often be glossed over without truly thinking through the implications of what this would mean for our lives. The point is, very clearly, very obviously, there is nothing that can compare with wisdom. The point of choosing something like gold or silver is because those are things that are obviously spoken of as being understood by all to be very valuable. And the idea is that there is nothing then that can compare with wisdom. If wisdom far exceeds gold, then wisdom is more valuable than anything. That's the point. Now, it's easy to understand what this means, but it is more difficult in our lives actually to value wisdom in this way, as Solomon is saying wisdom should be valued. So you think about how you view others who appear to have great outward, you know, advantages. You think of people like celebrities or politicians, those who are kings and queens or royalty, the wealthy, the famous, and it's very easy to think this person has it all, that this person has it all. But you know, very often, those who are in such positions, they don't know the Lord, their life is a disaster, and they appear to have everything in the eyes of very many people, and yet they don't have wisdom. So if you were to then say, you know, you have the option. God can either grant you all of these things. You can have all the wealth in the world, all the fame and the status and the glory on the one hand, or you can have wisdom. The point that Solomon is making here is that you ought to choose wisdom because it's clearly the much better choice. There is no reason ever to be envious of the great poverty of the wealthy who are ungodly. The point that Solomon here is making is they are actually to be pitied because of how poor they are. Because if you have wisdom and you have nothing else, you see, you have far more than they do. And they're actually in great poverty if all that they have are wealthy, is wealth and fame in this life. Because wisdom is far more than this. Outwardly, you know, the church does not appear to be anything impressive. Christians often don't appear to be impressive. But if you think, on the last day, it will be revealed what you are. That's what John says in 1 John chapter 3. What we are now is not yet made manifest, but on the last day, it will be revealed. It'll be seen that we are, in fact, the sons of God. And on that day, it will be very obvious to every single person who the blessed are and who those who are not blessed are. Though the world may overlook you and say, you know, who would be envious of this Christian? He doesn't have anything going for him. He just suffers all the time. And he doesn't have any of this wealth or fame or honor, all these things. Though that may be the case outwardly, yet you are the most blessed person in the world because you are the sons and daughters of God. And you have obtained more because you've obtained wisdom. You've obtained wisdom by the fear of God. And the point that Solomon is saying is, look, you have, if you have wisdom, you have obtained unbelievable wealth and honor, far more than anything that can be described in this world, that far more than anything that can be obtained in any other way in this world. You think of someone like an Elon Musk, you know, the wealthiest man in the world at this point. You know, I don't remember when I was growing up, it was Bill Gates and others. You know, get the title, it comes and goes. If you were to have the option, you know, you can be as wealthy as Elon Musk or have wisdom. What would you choose? What would you choose? Brothers and sisters, the reality is that every one of you are more wealthy. Every one of you have something that is of greater valuable, that is so rare that it cannot be found anywhere in this world. You can go nowhere to buy wisdom. There is no price that can be paid for it. No matter how wealthy you are, it can never be bought. It is the wisdom that comes only through the fear of the Lord. Now, again, brothers and sisters, this is often missed. It is very easy for us to overvalue the things we can see with our eyes and to miss the things that can only be seen with the eyes of faith. This is the reason why faith really is necessary. We've been talking about it in the evening services. We're going through Hebrews chapter 11. And if you've been with us, you'll remember that in Hebrews 11, the author is defining faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of things not seen. The idea is that faith grants sight of things that cannot be seen. The reason why there is such an overvaluing of the things that are found in this world is because people have no faith. Therefore, the only thing they can do is see the things that are of this world. But for a Christian, it is necessary for you to understand wisdom is a thing that cannot be seen with the eyes, and yet it is more valuable than any of these other things. You think of even the way this works with David. So Samuel anoints David the king, and his older brothers are not chosen. And, you know, Samuel is quite surprised at this. He had previously anointed Saul. Saul looked the part of the king. He's a head taller than everyone. He's very handsome. He's very strong. He becomes charismatic. He looks like he's humble on the outside. All these things. He looks like a king. And then, you know, God rejects Saul. Then God comes to Samuel and says, I will show you the man who will be the king after my own heart. And then Samuel goes to the family and he sees, you know, there's this brother. He looks like he could be a king. And God says, I've not chosen him. I've not chosen this next one. I've not chosen even the next one. And it then goes to the very smallest, the youngest of them, the one that does not appear to be in any way to be worthy of it. And God says, this is the man I've chosen. Because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And therefore, he is to be my king. He's the one who's actually going to rule in a way that's going to be beneficial to God's people. And brothers and sisters, something similar is going on here with wisdom. The purpose of the scriptures here is that God is telling you what he values. And you as a Christian, one who has the eyes to see unseen realities, you are to have the same valuation of wisdom as God has. Wisdom is more valuable than anything else within this world. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, do you prize and seek to obtain wisdom more than anything else in this life? Using a parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gives, would you gladly go and sell everything you have in joy in order to obtain wisdom like the man who finds that treasure hidden in a field? Would you give everything up for the sake of merely attaining wisdom? You see, the problem with regard to others, like the wealth of like an Elon Musk or something, they can't take that with them into the next life. Wisdom, though, is a benefit both in this life and that which is to come. Wisdom is more valuable than all these things. Now, in verses 16 through 18, Solomon then describes what actually makes wisdom so valuable. So it'd be one thing to say abstractly, okay, wisdom is more valuable than gold. Well, why is wisdom more valuable than gold? What actually is the nature of wisdom such that it is more valuable than gold? Well, the answer that's given in verses 16 through 18 is that wisdom grants length of days, riches, pleasant ways or peace, and ultimately eternal life. That if you obtain wisdom, you will have all of these things. And then the answer, then you could just say, you know, Solomon could just say, you can then simply weigh the benefits wisdom is going to grant you versus all the earthly material blessings you can think of. And you'll see very obviously that wisdom is going to be the thing that's more valuable. It's going to tip the scales on that side. So notice in the first thing that said, length of days. So this is given in verse 16, length of days is in her right hand. Now, this is not a promise that every single person who obtains wisdom will have a long life. But it does mean that it is generally the case that wisdom tends towards long life. So we think about like the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel, which we'll come back to again. We're not saying the same thing as that, but we are saying that it is, in fact, normal for those who obtain wisdom to have a long life. God may take you away in the midst of your days. He did that with the Lord Jesus Christ, who died young. And yet, it is still generally going to be true that wisdom leads to a long life. And we see this by way of contrasting this to the way of sin and folly. So the way of sin or folly is the self-destructive way of the world that always tends towards death. So you think of things like drugs, suicide, violence, adultery, sexual immorality. All of these things lead to premature death. The way of sin leads to death. The way of wisdom leads to life. Even within this life, there is a sense in which this is still true, with the necessary qualifications, of course. One of the statistics I came across recently is that the average life expectancy of a so-called porn star is 37 years. 37 years. These people who appear to be, you know, it's more and more something that people look up to or whatever, and there is a kind of glamour that they're trying to project, but it leads to death. It leads to death. It is the way of death. It's not the way of wisdom that leads to life. We've spoken often about the suicide rate among those who are transgender. We're told that this is because they're victims, and that's not true. The reason that there is such a high suicide rate among transgenders is because it is the way of folly, and the way of folly leads to death. That's simply the reality. And you can go through all these different kinds of things. Obviously, suicides, drugs leads to death, violence, adulteries lead to death, abortion obviously leads to death. We have today overdoses on the streets, other sins that lead to homelessness. All of these things cut short people's lives. And the reason is because this is not the path of wisdom. By contrast, the way of wisdom really does lead to length of days. That's the general trajectory for those who do find wisdom. Again, it's not to say that every single person will obtain it, but if you were to think about wisdom considered in itself, this is one of the great values. Wisdom does actually grant long life. You think of all these people who appear to be famous, who appear to have wealth and honor and riches, and how many of them die young. And the point, we think of that those as being tragedies and all that sort of thing, but the point that's being made here is that that's a normal outcome of the kind of life that is self-destructive. But wisdom will grant you far more. It'll grant you long life. Now, notice in the second thing that's said, in her left hand are riches and honor. So the same is true with riches. It does not mean that every single person who is rich is wise. It also does not mean that every single wise person is rich. But it does mean that in general, wisdom promotes wealth and riches, even in this life. That there are patterns, the patterns of sin are patterns that are self-destructive, and that does have financial ramifications. And wisdom with regard to life generally does lead to increase. Now again, God does call very many Christians to be poor and to bear up well under poverty, but there is a general trajectory of wealth with regard to wisdom. Wisdom, therefore, is the pathway to riches, but obtaining wealth in a way that is, in fact, righteous. Now, this obviously leads to the question, What then is the difference between this teaching and the teaching of the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel? Is this the same as the prosperity gospel? And the answer is no. The reason the prosperity gospel is not the true gospel is because in the prosperity gospel, wealth and riches are held out as the benefit of the gospel. Like you are obtaining salvation for the sake of these material benefits. But in the scriptures, always, whatever blessings you have are ultimately for the sake of ultimately enjoying God. And there is nothing that will ever replace God. And also, whatever good things you're given in this life, you are to recognize that you are to count them as nothing in comparison with the glory that's going to be revealed on the last day. Therefore, too, if you lose them all, if you lose, all of your riches within this life, you are still to follow God, understanding that you're blessed. There is a general trend towards a greater financial wealth even, but that is not the benefit of the gospel that's being given. However, it is something that does come with wisdom. Wisdom does generally trend in this particular direction. One of the other big differences with regard to the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel is it gets quite backwards, the idea that in this life we are called to suffer. So in this life we are called to pick up the cross and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore that's going to come with great suffering. Now, with regard to our finances then, we are not to intentionally make bad financial decisions to hurt ourselves financially because you say, well, now we just have to suffer. The idea with the suffering is the suffering comes from the outside. So the idea with regard to wisdom is going to grant the ability for a Christian to be able to make wise, sound decisions, not for the sake of spending money merely on your own pleasures, but for the sake of thinking ahead, caring for others, caring about the next generation. That's generally going to produce wealth. Suffering is going to come from the outside, and you are to bear that well, even if it means you have all of your goods plundered. Again, thinking back to the book of Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 10, we saw this recently, that the main thing that they were facing is they were facing all kinds of persecution, but they were imprisoned. They went through all kinds of difficulties. One of the things that the author says is that you joyfully accepted the plundering of all of your goods. So that's obviously not going to tend towards wealth. You are obviously called to suffer in that way. But that does not change the fact that wisdom in general does lead towards wealth. Considered in itself, wisdom will lead to wealth. And we even actually see this with regard to the blessings of the West that are often maligned at this point, so much in the world today. But if you look at the modern Western world and you were to ask, you know, why is there so much wealth in the modern Western world? The answer is because God has blessed the labors of Christians. That's the answer. You can look and you can see all the great innovations, the things that have produced such greater productivity. All of them, almost all of them, have come from Christians. And what is happening then is that God has granted the West to benefit from the wisdom that has been granted to Christians. And that has, in fact, produced a great amount of wealth. Now, there's always, of course, caveats and qualifications with this. But the reality is that there is, in fact, this is, in fact, true. It's always been true that wisdom tends towards riches and length of days. Now, notice next, then, pleasant ways and peace. So this is, comes in verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. One of the things that you often find to be the case with those who are wealthy and famous in this life is that they are unable to enjoy the wealth that they have because they are always anxious and paranoid about the things that are going to happen to them. They cannot find peace. And this is even the curse of God in according with the scriptures. He speaks of people attaining wealth but not being able to enjoy it. Others will enjoy it. You'll work for it. You'll get it. But then others will enjoy it. But wisdom offers this. If you find her, you will find peace. Now think of how sweet of a blessing it is to be able to lay your head on your pillow at the end of your days, at the end of the day, without fear or anxiety. Think of how many people who are of the wealthiest people in this world who would gladly give so much of their income, so much of their money for the sake of the blessing simply to find peace within this world. This, brothers and sisters, is what is offered to you by wisdom. If you obtain wisdom, you will find a peace that gold and silver cannot buy. And lastly, you will also find eternal life. You will also find eternal life. Notice what it said, the very last thing it said, this is the capstone of all the blessings wisdom will grant you. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Ultimately, wisdom grants you eternal life. Now, the tree of life, this is not just a tree that in general gives life. This is a reference to the tree of life that was in the Garden of Eden, that was meant to be a promise to Adam. If you obey me, you will have eternal life. And God gave that tree of life as a sacrament to show him the reality of this promise that God had made to him. We see the tree come back again at the end of the Bible in the Revelation, where God says on the last day in the new creation, there will be the tree of life, and it will produce fruit to all the nations for the healing of the nations, and you will have eternal life. What Solomon is saying is this, is that if you have wisdom, you will also obtain the tree of life, because wisdom itself is a tree of life to you. Wisdom itself is the tree of life for your benefit. Christ spoke of storing up treasures in heaven which cannot be lost. The point here is that obtaining wisdom is obtaining the greatest treasure in heaven, where moth and rust will not be able to destroy, where you will have a real benefit that will go with you into the next life. Because those who obtain wisdom ultimately will find themselves in the presence of God to all eternity. And so if you were to consider wisdom versus wealth and riches, gold and silver, all these things, if you were to consider that merely even for the benefits of this world, wisdom is still better. Wisdom grants you great things that wealth can never give you, no gold or silver. But wisdom shows its great worth in that those who obtain wisdom also obtain everlasting life, that you will be with God forever in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if this is the case, then brothers and sisters, wisdom ought to be the main thing that you seek in your life. There ought to be nothing in this life that you seek more than wisdom. You think of James chapter 1, James says, if any person lacks wisdom, let him ask from God who gives liberally to those who ask. But let him come asking in faith without doubting. And even more importantly then, so you're to seek wisdom, but even more importantly, you are to realize that wisdom ultimately is a person. And wisdom ultimately is the Lord Jesus Christ. That if you think about the value of wisdom, you have to keep in mind that what the Apostle Paul has said is that Christ is the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of God. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in him. And therefore, that man is blessed ultimately who has found the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the person who is in fact wise in this world. If you have found the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are more wealthy than anyone else in this entire world. In him are the greatest riches in the world, because ultimately our souls will always be restless until they find their rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of what Isaiah says. He's addressing those who are trying to obtain satisfaction in their lives without actually finding it in God. And he says, why spend money for what is not bread? You're trying to get this bread, it'll never satisfy you. It'll never actually fill your soul. Why spend money on what does not satisfy? Do not pursue earthly treasures when heavenly ones are offered in the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 2. He says, two great sins my people have committed against me. They have turned away from me the fountain of living waters. He's saying, I am the one that satisfies them. I am the great fountain of living waters. They have turned away from me. And then secondly, they have hewn out for themselves cisterns, so other ways to hold this water that we need. But the cisterns they've hewn out have holes in them, and they cannot hold water. They put the water in, and the water immediately seeps out. And the point is this, do not turn away from the one who is the fountain of all living waters, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and try to hew out for yourselves a cistern that will never be able to hold any kind of water. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and find wisdom. This is the call of wisdom. If you are foolish, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and find wisdom. Turn away from your folly that you may find life. May God grant that you would attain to wisdom and so receive the blessing that Solomon pronounces on all those who truly attain to wisdom. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how we do pray that you would forgive us for the ways in which we have often been tempted to value other things more than wisdom, the way in which we are so prone to seeking after things of this world, material things, which you have given to us for our enjoyment when you give them. And yet, Lord, we are often so enthralled by them, and we seek them more than wisdom, which you have said is worth more than all these. Lord, help us to find our satisfaction in you, to find wisdom in the fear of you, and ultimately, Lord, to find your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, even as we are Christians, and yet, Lord, still find ourselves enthralled by the things of this world. Give us the grace to be able to put a right valuation of wisdom, to value it as you value it, and to have a valuation of it that is consistent with true faith, being able to see things that are invisible. We ask this, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.